Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How are you doing today, Cody?
Doing great, Pat.
It's just you and me today, Cody.
That's right.
Matt, our engineer, has got us here. We're doing this without a producer, so you never know what's going to happen. We prepared very little for this, but we think it's a really important topic. What is our topic, Cody?
Pat and Cody divided.
That's right, because we are such at odds with one another right now.
We're going to fight it out on the show.
We're going to have it out right here on the air. Of course, that's not what this is. The truth is, for the last year and a half, we've been talking about virtual work and teams that are working remotely. And in the past 2 months, you and I have been working remotely because you moved to Utah.
That's right.
You bastard. I'm very happy for you and the family. It's wonderful. And so you and I are leading and working remotely. And we are going to just talk right now about what that's been like, what we've learned, what's good, what's not good, what we've done poorly, and maybe what we've done well, if anything. And so I'm going to throw it to you, Cody. What's the best part? Let's talk about this. There are some upsides of this. What are the best parts of us doing this? We're surprised, but there are some good things that happen by us working in different states.
Yeah, and I think there's a few things personally and a few things organizationally even. We had to take a look at the company and sort of reorganize our operations as a result of the shift. And I think in some ways it's actually accelerated some of our effectiveness because
I agree.
We sort of separated out more responsibilities in different areas. And I think we had a tendency, because we enjoyed working together so much, that we would involve each other in everything. And there's a healthy amount of separation where we're not involved in everything, where we're getting a little bit more done, being a little more effective in some of the things that we separated out.
Yeah, it really forced us to get clearer about our roles and responsibilities, and which has allowed us to focus more. So clarity and focus have improved because they had to, because we just didn't have that easy back and forth in the office.
Yeah.
Another good thing, I think I'll throw another one out there. I do think, and you and I are both extroverts, we probably, there's plenty of times where we get more done.
Yep.
Because you and I could spend a lot of time in very interesting conversations about things related to work and not work.
Yeah.
And I think we are moving the ball forward more, partly because you and I kind of go into a room and crank. And we have to get back together and share what we've actually accomplished. So we have a greater sense of, like, we better get more done.
Yeah. And I think it always started with work, but we'd find a way to weave in some tangential conversations. You know, the first 20 minutes, I think we were pretty good in the room. And then after that, we'd find ourselves, we're like, how do we get here? So that's definitely been different.
Much like this podcast, which is why we try to limit it to about no more than 20 minutes, because we just go off the rails.
They're totally true. Yeah, I think those two things have been good. I think one of the things that's been really difficult, there's a couple things. One, personally, is like, I miss hanging out with you. You know, I miss the in-between times and the conversations that we had. And so what it does is it makes us have to be far more intentional about our friendship. So I think we do a decent job. We have been doing a pretty good job at, like, let's get together and put our heads together about running, you know, leading what we're trying to do. But then, you know, even like over the Thanksgiving holiday, I was like, well, this would be a time where I'd probably see Pat and I don't get a chance to see him. So you kind of have to, like, nurture both things simultaneously, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, as you were saying that, Cody, I realized that the fact that we worked together for 7 years before you moved?
Yeah.
Is huge, because we had this base and we understand each other. So now that it shifts to Zoom calls and phone calls and other things, it feels like we can slide into that pretty well. If I had hired you, and 7 years ago you'd been in Utah, it would be a very different thing.
Totally. And I think maybe that's happening to some people, as they think work is maybe getting more transactional because the relational side is harder. You know, right. So we get on and we'll have a topic of a Zoom call that we need to like figure out or strategize around. And then you have to make a call after the call for the relationship sometimes. And that's where you can kind of, the lines have to be a little blurred. Like, we can't just bifurcate our lives. They're like, this is a work call and this is a friend call, because it's that water cooler time and the lunch table time that we're missing out on. So we got to figure out a better way to do more of that. I think we've been doing a decent job. And one thing I will say is, before I left, we sat in the conference room and you sat down with me and Tracy and Karen and said, hey, what's one thing we all need to do differently to make this work? You know, and the feedback we went around and all shared, and mine was, I have to be proactively, like my outreach has to be really proactive, you know, like
right.
calling, not operating as if everybody is actually busy and I'm bothering right. them, but actually provoking that activity, like always being the one to initiate. And that was really helpful feedback.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. It's easy to lose that. You know, one thing we did do is we put a big TV. We took the clock down in our office. We put a couch and some chairs in there and a big TV on the wall so that we can do more like just hanging out and talking to you, which we haven't started using yet because we just got it working. But we're going to try to build in more intentional, carefree timelessness. I think that's going to be hard for us because we tend to be operating based on whatever's right in front of us at the time.
Yep. You know, the other observation, and this is sort of related to Working Genius, but if you have on this podcast many times said that I'm sort of filling the chief galvanizing officer role, and one of the things that I've missed that has actually been harder for me as a remote worker is I used to just walk around the office and using my disruptive galvanizing, like, what are you working on? Let's get into a room right now and let's see how much headway we can make on this. And so what I'm starting to realize, and this might turn into a Working Genius podcast later that we do, is there are certain activities that are easier to do remote, and there are certain activities that you should try to prioritize when you're together and in person. And we've done a decent job. I think if I had to like rough it out right now, the first three letters, wonder, invention, discernment, as often as possible, doing those in person is really helpful because there's so much goes on between like the evaluating an idea, and it's easier to have good conflict in person than it is over Zoom. And then sort of once the plan is a little bit more refined, galvanizing is a little easier in person when you can like actually walk around to people's desks. But you can galvanize, enable, and tenacity, the last three letters, relatively okay, you know, in terms of the remote work. So we have the plan and I get to call people and get them on a Zoom call and say, okay, here's the plan. Let's execute the plan. That's a little more easily done than the first three, I think.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing that as we're talking about this is like, we have this technology, Zoom, Microsoft Teams, whatever else there are, and we don't use it that readily. It's so funny. It's like, I remember when I was a kid, I watched the Jetsons and they had the watches where George Jetson would call his wife Jane and he'd talk to her on the watch, you know?
Yep.
And I thought, man, wouldn't that be cool? Now we have them and we don't use them very much. Now we have Zoom and it's still the exception. Like, I don't know why I don't just go, I'm just going to call Cody up and see what he's doing. We have to plan it. We have to schedule it. We have to get it on the calendar. So I think one of the things you and I are going to have to do is probably like carve out time every day where we say, don't put meetings on that slot. And let's just get used to getting your face and my face on the screen and seeing what's going on. And that might be when you bring Lindsay in or Brooks or Quinn. Sometimes I call Quinn, Lindsay, Quinn. But anyway, and we might just have to be a little bit more cavalier about that time because we will probably have really good discussions because that's what used to happen when we were in the office. But if we don't carve out that carefree timelessness kind of in between time, I think we'll lose it.
Totally. There's sort of two things that I learned from you that are really helping me that we've mentioned that maybe once is one that you used to tell me about that guy that wrote the phrase "do it now" on his shoes, you know, and I feel like as a remote worker that's trying to do all this stuff, if I think about calling you, I just go, I should just do it right now rather than, oh, well, let me just wait and see when he's free. And what you and I have been really good at is I'll call you or you'll call me, I'll pick up. Even if I'm in the middle of something, I'll say, hey, I'm in the middle of something, I'll call you back versus just letting it go to voicemail and not knowing what the other person is doing. So the do it now thing is one thing. The other is, you know, this was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we had talked about our posture in the office and it was whether you had a posture, a defensive or offensive posture around your work. And the defensive posture was waking up in the morning, opening up your email and starting at the top and just sort of letting your day dictate what you worked on, which is like, I would get through my emails and then I'll figure out what else I'm going to do. And what has really, really helped me is to step back from that before I ever start my day and say, what are the three or four big things that I want to make sure most of my time and energy is focused on? Because I feel like I could very easily sit down, start working on email, get to lunch, and have responded to people, which is great, but not done the most impactful things.
Yeah. You know, Cody, I just realized something. So Jackie, who is like the chief of staff for us and tells me what I'm doing every day, she's fantastic. She's also remote, but she calls me first thing in the morning and tells me what's going on.
Yep.
I should probably start that conversation with you instead, so we can figure out what we want to accomplish, not what's currently on my calendar.
Well, it's funny because the call Jackie makes after you hang up is to me to tell me what you have going on. So we probably could do that a little better, you know, you
the
and
tail
I
might be meeting. Wagging the dog there a little bit. Yeah, you know, exactly. One of the things that I'm surprised at, Cody, is that we're only 1 hour apart, right? You're in Utah and I'm in California, but yep. I notice how often that hour matters.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, like I'll be driving home from work at 5:30 and I would go, oh, I don't want to call Cody now. He's probably eating. Or in the morning, you're probably like, it's 9 o'clock and you're like, I should call Pat. And it's like, well, maybe he's doing something. He might not be in the office yet. You know, it's weird how even 1 hour time difference it costs. So it being intentional is going to be a really big part of this.
Yeah. I noticed that too. There's a handful of times where you and I used to be in the office until 5:30 when we were in the same time zone, but we have two young kids. So we try to do dinner together and you're really aware of that. So I know that you're on your way home and a handful of times you've called and be like, sorry, Pat, we're at dinner. But it does. That 1 hour makes a huge difference, which is why I think those little micro moments throughout the day where it's, if you save it, if you're like, oh, I need to call Pat, and you end up getting busy, it really is helpful to just do it now. Like a handful of times today, from conversations we had this morning, like, hey, these are the things I need to do. Rather than writing them down, I'm just checking them off the list and including calling people, getting time on your calendar, scheduling meetings, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So let's do that. Let's have a daily hangout. We got to do that. Let's talk to each other first thing in the morning, even if it's just for 10 or 15 minutes. And the last thing I want to say is the worst part of this is actually podcasting. It's harder to podcast with you. Now, we're making it work. And Matt, our engineer, has us going well. But it's hard. We interrupt each other more. And it's hard to know when the other person's going to talk. When we'd sit in a room across a table. Now, hopefully people don't even notice. But for me, I can tell you, sitting in the same room with somebody and talking on a podcast is a lot easier.
Yeah, we do a lot of nonverbal, you know, holding our hands up and talking with our hands. It's just not quite the same. So we've been stepping on each other's toes a little bit, but we'll get better at it. We'll figure it out.
That's right. So anyway, we just thought we'd share that with everybody. Some of you may not have known that we're working in different states apart from each other. And so now it's a real thing and we're learning real things on our own. We're making mistakes. We're figuring out new ideas. We'll share them with you as we go along. One of the first things though is I'm gonna start my day talking to you so I can ground myself in where we need to be on the same page, because we know how easy it is for leaders to get disconnected.
Yep.
All righty. Well, thank you, Cody.
Yeah, it's thanks, a little Pat.
The day now. You're gonna have to get over to your family.
Yeah. Well, it was good seeing you. That's the last thing I'll say is what I love. One of the hidden benefits of this is I get so excited every time I turn on the Zoom and it's you and the people in Lafayette, or, you know, once a month I'm out there. I don't know. The last time I came out in November, I've walking into the office just felt really, really fun to be around my friends and colleagues that I've spent all that time with. So,
well, there's one more benefit that I didn't mention, and that is behind you, I can see in the hallway. I get to see your kids and your wife walk by, whereas before I didn't get to see them as much.
Yep.
So even though you're farther away, I get little visual updates on them. And during our hangouts, I'm going to get to talk to Quinn and Brooks and Lindsay as well.
Yep.
So, all right, I'm going to let you go, Cody. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.